Your book describes how unconscious biases influence people, which is especially relevant in our country right now. And you've addressed this in your reporting, too. You were talking about something called counter-stereotyping. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what counter-stereotyping is.
Sure. Basically, the idea is very straightforward. When you think about unconscious bias, especially as it pertains to our judgments and perceptions of other people, we often form unconscious beliefs or attitudes about them based on a number of different associations. So from the time that you're a very small child, you start to see who shows up in positions of dignity and authority. And so if you're watching television or reading books or watching movies, it's not surprising that you're going to hear that, for example, that mostly people in positions of power and authority are men. If you're watching the news, for example, every time a president gets mentioned, the president of the United States has always been a man. So the idea is that over time, our minds form an unconscious association and essentially form a rule that basically says presidents are men. Now, consciously, we might actually believe that that's not the case. We actually know that both men and women can be president. But unconsciously, our hidden brain has formed an association through multiple repetitions that basically say there is a rule that men are more likely to be president than women. The idea of counter-stereotyping is if you want to overcome the effects of this unconscious bias, it isn't enough simply to tell people, look, the bias is wrong. Look, you shouldn't hold this bias. The idea really is this bias is really held in the unconscious mind and not the conscious mind, and therefore persuading the conscious mind isn't going to be very effective. And that's where the idea of counter-stereotyping comes in, which is just as the brain learns that, you know, men tend to be presidents because that's the examples we've seen, if you provide the mind with counter-examples, counter-stereotypic examples, over time, our hidden brain will unlearn the stereotypes it's learned and learn sort of a more egalitarian, learn to sort of see the world in more egalitarian ways. Now, the caveat that needs to be mentioned here, of course, is that, you know, the counter stereotypes that we can often offer to students or teachers or children, you know, it tends to be relatively, you know, you're doing that maybe in an intervention in a laboratory or in a classroom, you know, once or twice. And the popular culture, on the other hand, is flooding you with information all the time that is largely follows stereotypic lines. And so counter stereotyping is an interesting idea, but it's not something that is easy to implement in actually overcoming these unconscious biases.
Right, because you have to seek out those images and try to find them in places. You have to consciously try to reprogram your brain, sounds like.
Yeah, and you also have to do it consistently over time. In many ways, it's a lot like, for example, starting an exercise program. And if you start an exercise program and you stick to it diligently, you know, in a couple of weeks, you're going to be healthier. But if you stop exercising after a couple of weeks and don't exercise for a month, you're going to go back to where you were before. And so the challenge with counter-stereotyping and in many ways overcoming many kinds of unconscious biases is that it not only requires effort to overcome those biases, but it requires sort of a consistent application of that effort over long periods of time. And that's difficult to do, which is why it's not surprising, very much like our efforts to exercise more often or eat healthier or lose weight. It's not very easy to overcome these unconscious biases.
It seems to me like pop culture could play an interesting role in that. I'm thinking of TV shows that are kind of going against the stereotypes and sort of changing the feel of our culture towards different people groups that are typically stereotyped.
Yes. Now, because pop culture is sort of an outgrowth of our minds, you know, pop culture is a reflection of what we think is interesting and what we don't think is interesting. It's also the case that, I mean, pop culture is sort of a chicken and egg thing. It is true that if you were to change the images and things that you see in pop culture, you probably would have an effect on the unconscious mind. But it's also the unconscious mind shapes what's in pop culture. And, you know, we see this in television all the time. It used to be very, very unusual, for example, to depict gay people on television. Mm-hmm. Just in the last 15 or 20 years, it's become much more common now. Now, did the popular culture lead our unconscious minds, or did our unconscious minds lead the popular culture? And the answer is it's probably both, right? So you had maybe an isolated show or two that broke new ground, and that might have changed attitudes a little bit. And as attitudes changed, and many other television shows said, well, there's room for this kind of programming, you had more shows, and you had sort of a spiraling effect. That's the way that counter-stereotyping potentially could work, because it can have sort of this snowball effect over time as the popular culture changes our hidden brains and vice versa.